returning back to Matthew 12, and we're up to verse 33. Matthew 12, we're reading verses 33 to 37. Jesus is responding to what the Pharisees said in verse 24, when they said that he casts out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus is still responding to that. He said a number of things already. He's talked about how Satan wouldn't be able to be divided against himself and be successful. He's talked about the fact that he casts out devils by the Spirit of God and that the kingdom of God has come. He talked about binding the strong man. He talked about gathering with himself. He talked about sin that will be forgiven and not responding to the Holy Ghost. And now Jesus is going to talk about something else. Verses 33 to 37. This is the word of God. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. The precious word of the living and the true God, even the words of Jesus Christ himself. I don't know if you know much about the game of poker. Some of you probably know something about it. Some of you probably know little about it. Some of you have seen it in movies. But in poker, there is this idea that you're supposed to hide what you have in your hand from the other people who are playing. The other people who are trying to figure out if they have a better hand than you. And one of the things that people who play poker try to do is they try to keep their face from showing any clues. But people who are experienced in this game have found out that there's a way to know if people have something in their hand that is favorable, something in their hand that they think is going to be successful. And it's called a tell. It's just little gestures or little ways that people respond. It's kind of like a lie detector, but it's something that people many times are not aware of. In the spiritual realm, Jesus Christ says that there are differences on the inside of us. There are differences in the way that we are made up. And these differences are shown in a particular way. Jesus says in verse 33, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. Jesus is saying that there is consistency between the tree and its fruit. And what he's telling us is that if we have a model or a grid that allows us to think that someone who is rotten on the inside can produce good fruit, we don't understand how it works. We don't understand how people work. See, Jesus is not just talking about trees. He's talking about people. He's talking about people in the sense of being trees, because he's already talked about this in chapter 7 when he was talking about false prophets. He said in chapter 7, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Jesus is actually breaking down humanity. into two groups. He's talking about a good tree and he's talking about an evil tree. And he says the fruit that comes out of the evil tree is evil fruit. That's why he says, make the tree good and the fruit good, or else the tree corrupt and the fruit corrupt. You see, if you have this model, if you try to calculate what kind of fruit is going to come out of a person, you have to know what kind of a person is there, either corrupt or good. And then Jesus says that there's a way to know what the tree is like, and it's by its fruit. Jesus is saying something quite profound, and he's telling us that either both the tree and its fruit are good, or both are bad. Those are the only options. You cannot get good works out of a corrupt source. That's what Jesus is saying. And this language that he uses in verse 34 might echo in your mind. He's speaking directly to the Pharisees, and he calls them a generation of vipers. He says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That language, generation of vipers, you might remember it. It's what John the Baptist used when he spoke of the Pharisees, when they came up to be baptized. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they come along, and John is baptizing people with a baptism that is meant to prepare them in terms of repentance. And he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, Matthew 3, verse 7. And he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. John the Baptist calls the Pharisees a generation of vipers because they are poisonous, because they are deadly, because they are corrupt, because they are snake-like, because they do not have the fruits that come from a heart that's turned to God, because they are actually evil on the inside. Even though they want everyone to think that they are good, they are unable to bring forth the fruits that match up with repentance, turning to God, because they have not been changed on the inside. And Jesus Christ says that they cannot do this. Look at what he says carefully in verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? How can ye? He's talking about ability. He says that they cannot speak good things because they are evil. He's saying something very serious. It's the same kind of language that is used of the devil in chapter 13 when he's called the wicked one, the evil one, the devil. And he uses that same term to speak of the Pharisees. He says that they are evil. How can they speak good things? Because good things, you see, come out of a good tree, and it comes directly from the heart. Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We've already seen this in the book of Proverbs. We see it again and again and again. What comes out of our mouth comes from our heart. Good fruit comes out of a good tree. If you have a corrupt tree, you're not going to get good pears. And so, when our mouths speak, it's in some way pointing to what's inside of our heart. Jesus is driving to this. In other words, what you are determines what you say. What you are enables you to either say good things or evil things. And when you try to say good things from an evil heart, that's hypocrisy. that's falsehood. That's evil. It's, you're saying good things, but you're not saying them with a motivation that comes from a heart that has been changed. It's a very serious thing that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the fact that the Pharisees have an inability to speak good. They cannot speak good things. They need to have a change on the inside. And Jesus describes what the difference is between two classes of people, two kinds of trees. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. Jesus is talking about our hearts as places where treasure is stored. A treasure room, a place where there is something hidden. It's in a secret place. The Lord Jesus Christ has been talking about treasure already in chapter 6. And you remember what he said when he was talking about treasure in his Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. He says, "Lay up, not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Jesus is saying that if your treasure is in heaven, your heart will be connected to it. Now Jesus says that there is treasure actually inside of a changed heart. A heart that is changed by the Spirit of the living God. A heart that is changed by the Spirit that enabled him to bring the kingdom, to perform these great, wondrous signs, that these miracles that the Pharisees were denying. The one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, he heals him, and the blind and dumb person speaks and sees. That same Jesus Christ is able to change someone's heart to be a treasure trove of that which is good. At the end of the day, this passage is not designed for you to become fatalistic or to say, "I can't do anything about the way I am." Instead, this passage is designed to show you that people act consistently and speak consistently with who they are. And that's something that you need to know in order to understand the world around you and in order to understand yourself. Jesus is saying that there needs to be a transformation of the heart in order for someone to bring forth good things out of their heart. It's an amazing word when he says bring forth good things. It's a word that is the same word that's used of casting out of demons. The person actually brings forth good things out of a changed heart. Maybe you've seen someone go through this transformation. I hope you have. From a time when they were oriented towards things that were violent or wicked, oriented towards anger or greed or lust, and they were changed on the inside by the Spirit of God. They were changed by the work of Jesus Christ. And they began to bring forth different things to the point where people recognized it. They saw the fruit and they said, "The tree is different." People can't always put it into words, but Jesus can. Jesus describes people like trees. He says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." If words are that deep, if words are that important, if words are the tell to show what's in our heart, then we need to take heart change seriously. We need to wrestle with who we are before God. We can't just craft the words. Because Jesus is talking to the Pharisees who were crafting words all the time. They were studying the law and trying to find ways to put thanks. In fact, when Jesus begins to challenge them, they hesitate. And they think about the outcome. But what they really needed to see was a change on the inside. And so Jesus talks about that secret place, that place that's on the inside where the treasure is. Later on in chapter 13 and verse 52, he will speak about scribes who are instructed in the kingdom of heaven like a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth of his treasure things new and old. Jesus is the one who's able to give you a heart that is full of good treasure. Treasure that is pleasing to God. Treasure that can come out of your lips. Treasure that will help someone. Treasure that will build up someone. Treasure that will comfort someone. Treasure that is truthful. Treasure that is life-giving. Treasure that contributes to godliness. And Jesus speaks of this in verse 36. And then he makes it very clear in verse 37 what he's talking about. He gets very specific. And he says something, and we have to just slow down and think about for a minute. When he talks in verse 36 about idle words. Because Jesus says, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word. Well, okay, I'm not going to tell any knock-knock jokes. Because that's pretty frivolous. Those are just idle words. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the kind of words that are barren or unproductive. He's using a very specific word. He's talking about words that don't come from a changed heart. He's talking about the kind of words that the Pharisees were using, saying that the Lord Jesus Christ performed his miracles by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. He's talking about the kind of words that quickly say, yes, I'm going to do that, but then you never follow through because you really didn't mean it. You make a promise, but you don't follow through. Those kinds of words. Words that are not coming from a changed heart often are not backed up by actions. Actions that really show that you intended those words. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the kind of words that are inconsistent. The kind of words that attempt to show good treasure without the changed heart on the inside. He's talking about breaking our promises. He's talking about not doing what you say. He's talking about those types of words that come out so fast, but they don't match who we are on the inside. And he's saying that in the divine poker game, nobody else might be able to know what's in your heart, but God does. He can see right through the words, and he can see into your heart. And every idle word that a man speaks will give an account thereof in the day of judgment. And this is what helps us to understand what Jesus says in verse 37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. If it was just about words, a that I could say the right words. If I knew the right words to say, I could say them. Someone asks you if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you say, yes, I do. But if it's not true, that you actually don't believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you're not able to have confidence that on the day of judgment, you will have a clean record before God. Because the Bible says that salvation comes from confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. In other words, there's a connection between our words and our heart. And this is exactly what Jesus is talking about. God sees right through our words, our broken promises, our confessions, our statements where we try to look good in the eyes of people. And Jesus says it's about a transformation of character. It's about a transformation on the inside that can only be accomplished by the Spirit. It can only be accomplished by the work of Jesus Christ applied to us by the Spirit. In other words, we need this change. We need to be those who are good trees bringing forth good fruit, who have a good treasure in our heart bringing forth good things, in order that our words will be consistent before God. And that's why Jesus Christ says, by thy words shalt thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. But the Bible goes further. The Bible helps us. Because left by itself, as we hear these words from Jesus Christ, we might tremble. We might still tremble. If I know that my words are not supposed to be barren, they're supposed to be productive words, if I know that they're supposed to be backed up with true, genuine action, if I know that I'm supposed to say what I do and do what I say, if I know that my speech reveals who I am, I don't know if I measure up with what the living God requires from my heart. Here's the good news. The Holy Spirit is designed to give you fruit on the inside. The Holy Spirit is designed to give you a changed heart, to join you to Jesus Christ. And this is what it looks like. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. In other words, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross was not designed simply to give you a clean record before God. It was designed to cause your flesh on the inside, the affections and lusts of the old man, to die. And to replace those affections and lusts with good treasure that looks like this: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. But not something that you produce by yourself and then offer up to God. No, the fruit of God's Holy Spirit being formed on the inside of you, that's what changes you. That's what makes you godlike. That's what makes you a good tree, changed by the intervention of God. No tree can wake up in the morning and say, I've been a rotten tree, now I want to be a good tree. But the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit changes people from being rotten trees to good trees. all of the time. This is the history of redemption. This is the age of grace. This is the time of the working of the Holy Spirit. This is the time when rotten, corrupt trees, people with ungodly character, affections and lusts that come from the old man, are being changed on the inside by the work of the Holy Spirit. And so we're meant to see that what we say shows the kind of person we are, but not so that we might despair, but so that we might turn to the Spirit, and we might be changed by the work of the Holy Spirit, in order that we might be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, in order that we might partake of the fruit-bearing work of the Holy Spirit. You want to be a good tree? Someone who means what they say? Someone who understands what it means to trust in Jesus Christ? Someone who says things that are edifying and helpful, gentle and kind, patient and good? You need the Spirit in order to be good rather than evil. And this, too, is what Jesus Christ came to do. He came to provide for men and women and boys and girls for the penalty for sin to be taken away, in order that people might turn to God through the Spirit and receive not only comfort, like we read about in John 14, but the change on the inside that comes about through the work of the Spirit. And that will be reflected in our words. As people begin to hear in our words the character of the Spirit. Isn't that an amazing thing? That people could hear love, that they could hear joy, that they could hear patience, that they could hear goodness, because the Spirit is working to bring good treasure out of your heart. That lifts up the work of Jesus Christ.